So we've been talking about servant warfare as a series here where we're talking about how we can serve one another and serve in the kingdom of God and actually advance the kingdom of God through serving. That actually serving has a physical, practical aspect, but it's also has supernatural implications. That you can actually break down barriers and obstacles through serving in the love of Christ. And when we think about serving, we're often like, it's not one of those, you know, glamour messages. You don't hear about serving a lot. You know, you want to hear about power. You want to hear about impartation. You want to hear about the moving of the Spirit or you know, tons of these amazing ripples in the kingdom of heaven. But the reality is all of those things that I've just mentioned move through the conduit of serving. And we have to recognize this, that serving is like a principle in the kingdom of heaven. And it's not, we want to break the mindset of, you know, Western evangelical consumerism, where we come to see what does this place offer me? What can I get out of this? How can this place benefit me? Now, I'm not saying that when you're called to a community, you shouldn't benefit. Of course you should benefit. However, it's not always about what they can do for you. It's really about what we can do for each other in Christ. And when we can change that paradigm, that mindset of functioning in that way, this whole new world opens up to us. It's actually a world that's kingdom. It's a world that's so thriving and vital, and it's beautiful because now you become this river that instead of flowing inward, flows outward. Where Jesus said, rivers of living water are going to flow from our bellies. And so when you get that call to serve, when that call comes on you to serve, something rises up of joy in you instead of, oh man, I gotta get through this thing. Come on, I've been there. I mean, you know who your friends are when you need to move. 100%, 100%. You make that phone call to friends, and especially if you're gonna move out of state where they might not see you again. It's totally selfless. And you call them, you say, will you help me move? They're like, oh, I'm so sorry, I have this thing, I'm not sure. I was like, I didn't even tell you the date. You have no idea when I'm just so busy. Now I get it, the older you get, the less you wanna move people. The less you wanna move yourself. Because you're thinking of the implications if you get injured. And you're asking, are you moving to a ranch house or a two-story building? Back in the day when big screen TVs were beasts. I mean, they were like 600 pounds and you know, you're like, I don't wanna move your TV or your couch. Oh, you have a pull-out sleeping couch? Sorry. I was the slowest mover. If you invited me over to your house, I would grab something and just take my time. And then just let everyone else just hustle. No, I'm just kidding. I even said now I'm at the old age of 42 years old. I know. And I'm like, I even tell my friends, I was like, look, I get it. You need to move. It's cost money. I don't need a pizza. You don't have to order me, because everyone's like, I'll order you some pizza. We'll have some pizza and we can help move. Like, I don't want pizza. I said, just set up a GoFundMe account. I'll give $25. If every one of your friends gives $25, we could get some movers to move you. That's just a thing that I want to start in our culture. Just do GoFundMe for moving you. I'll pay $50 to not have to move you. I'm just kidding. But anyway, you really know who your friends are through moving. Why? Because it's such a selfless act and there's so much risk in it and so heavy, it's so hard that you know, even the ladies coming in and lifting and cleaning and just everything that happens in a move, it's such a servant thing to do and it's exhausting. However, when we're talking about serving in serving one another in the context of the body of Christ and kingdom, it's not just about moving people. It's about leaning on a shoulder with people. It's about showing up when people are alone. It's about actually like seeing what's needed in their life and seeing how God can use you to complement them. It's about being selfless. And there is so much joy in serving when you actually get that mindset. Amen? Okay. The benefit of serving is everyone gets blessed. I should turn this on. What does it do? First of all, it builds up the body of Christ. Can you guys see that? Romans 14, 19. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Now, the word okotome is a Greek word for encourage, and it literally means building up or edifying. It literally means promoting another's growth. Okotome, all the Greek speakers stop. I like listened to it 6 to 7 times. I was like, how do I say this? And Google kept pronouncing it for me. And I was like, I don't know. But anyway, sorry, Professor Hawkins. All right. Okay. I'm not going to, you know, I speak Philly. Encouragement is brick by brick, word by word, action by action, building towards Jesus. Not only does it infer building up, it also infers building into. And so you have an opportunity as a Christ follower, as a brother, as a sister in Christ, to speak into someone's life, to build into them. We were talking yesterday, so many testimonies of how that was one of Anthony's unique gifts, was building into, speaking into, encouraging, calling out the gold in people. Serving one another shares Christ to the lost. Philemon 1:6, and I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Billy Graham says, our faith becomes stronger as we express it. A growing faith is a sharing faith. Now, when we lead by example in serving, we not only just benefit our brothers and sisters in Christ, but we actually are an example of who Christ is to the lost. When I talk to people who either don't go to church anymore, don't follow Christ, or are turned off by Christ or Christianity, almost all the time, and I like to talk to a lot of people about Christ, I'm kind of in the business of it. Almost all the time, they don't talk about theology. Most of them don't even know the Bible. You know what they talk about? Christians who disappointed them. Christians who did not be acting Christ-like to them. Who offended them, did not turn kindness when they were offended. Sometimes in disputes, Christians can be some of the hardest. When Jesus tells us to turn the other cheek, and we don't do that. See, it's easy to put a mask on Sunday morning. But your everyday life, to people who don't know that you go to church, do they see Christ in you? Are you serving them? You know, one of the things that keeps me humble is whenever I'm flying and I'm in a bathroom and the airplane, you know, I have no idea what happens in those airplane bathrooms, but they get destroyed in a flight. But when I use it, I could just leave it for the attendant or I clean it up. I wipe it down, take the trash off the floor. If you ever fly in some of the Asian countries where they don't sit on a proper toilet, they actually like stand above they stand on the toilet and they squat, and that's a mess. Some new insight for you that you never knew. when you fly Air Asia or something like that. You're like, oh, this person never, okay. Jesus, help me. But it's like, what is your heart outside of church? What is your heart outside of when you know Christians are watching you? Are you promoting Christ through serving? The greatest leader is the greatest servant. All right. What else does it do when we serve? It benefits everyone because it deepens relationships. It's the power of sharing a moment. When we think about serving, oftentimes we think about doing it by ourselves. But the reality is, when we serve, we should serve in context of one another. Doing things together, sharing that moment together. Ephesians 4:29, it says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Hebrews 10:24 and 25, it says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The word of God is talking to us about serving one another in context of a group. Not by yourself. Although it can be hard sometimes when you're the only one who shows up. Good on you, shame on those who didn't show up. But we can serve each other, and it brings and it deepens and it enriches friendships and gives the understanding and the sense of family, because you do it together. Have you ever gone through something with someone together? Oftentimes, you might not have a strong history with that person, but in one moment, one instance, you all go through that struggle together, and all of a sudden, you find yourself in a deep, strong relationship. Why? Because you've gone through this moment together. Now, I said it before that the enemy's ability to destroy our Christian family is to isolate us. That's what he wants to do. That's his strategy, not his ability. That's his strategy. In isolation, we die. How do you punish someone in prison? You put him in isolation. And what does the enemy want to do to each one of us as believers is isolate us, because by ourselves, we don't survive. We need each other. And we need to serve one another. I have this conviction with our own family. I mean, when we talk about our own family, it's like sometimes we're so used to being with our family, or we're so familiar with them that we become, even in the context of living in the same household, we've isolated ourselves, right? This machine, right? It gives us the ability to zone out and zone into that and forget about the people around us. And we need to realize that there's moments quickly passing by that we need to take advantage of. And it's literally being aware that they're around us and loving one another and serving one another. This is how Jesus said that people will know that we're his disciples, by the way. This was the new commandment he gave us. And building history with people is important. And that's why, as I said earlier before we started this message, was that one of the wonderful things I love about being a pastor here is that I get to build history with people. It took me a while to get that. At first, it was awkward being with people I didn't know. It's hard showing up to a retirement party, not Alan's, I knew him for 10 years, but showing up to a retirement party and only knowing them a few weeks. But that's where it starts. Get over the awkwardness. Break all the obstacles, all the barriers, all the lies that try to tell you you shouldn't be here. This is, these people aren't your people. That's all a bunch of baloney. If you're called to our community, you belong here. If God's called you here, you belong here. And if we're awkward, look, I haven't found normal yet. I'm not normal. There's no such thing as normal. You all are weird. All of you. It's true. You're all weird. Just accept it. If you think you're normal, you're not. Sorry. But I'm not either. But I choose to love you. and I'm hoping you choose to love me. Thanks. I love you too, Jim. I think that was Jim. So it's important that we serve, even though there's a benefit from serving, because we deepen relationships, we become stronger, we're creating history with one another. We don't want to have an agenda when we do it. There shouldn't be any agenda in us. And when we're Christ-focused, when we go, man, God, I'm so glad for what you've done for me. You've forgiven me. You've justified me. You've been merciful to me. And I don't need an agenda to go and serve someone. It's not so that I have a better position. It's not so that I have more recognition or fame or anything else. I just want to do it because of everything you've done for me, and it gives me so much joy to do it. So in one sense, I'm like, there's so much benefits in serving, and I hope you guys understand this. In another sense, I'm like, but who cares about the benefits? Let's do it because of him. All right. And my last point is, serving keeps you grounded. It keeps you connected. It makes that sure that we do not get very lofty. You know, when we look at Jesus Christ and who he is, he's called the chief cornerstone. The biggest part of the building is that first stone. This is actually an architectural term back in the day. The chief cornerstone is the first foundational stone. And the chief cornerstone in the architectural world, I studied this week, and I'm going to look brilliant right now. But it determines the level and the alignment of the building. If it's off just a hair, the rest of the building will be off dramatically. And the reality is that Jesus Christ is perfect. And it also gives the image that if we build our foundation on him, the rest of us will be in alignment. Here's the thing. Jesus didn't come to be served. He came to serve. One of the greatest leaders, not one of, the greatest leader in the cosmos, Jesus Christ, became a baby, incarnate. God became incarnate to serve us, to reconcile us back to God. Acts 4:11 says, this is Jesus's, I can't read that far. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no other foundation anyone lay than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, any structure that is top heavy will fall over. And if we want to build a community with our thinking as leadership is something that is so big and so grandiose that it's going to be top heavy, it won't last. I want to continue to build a community that will serve one another just as Jesus came to serve. That we know that we're all going after the same goal, the same mission, the same vision, and that Jesus Christ loves us all. And how many know that there is no hierarchy at the cross? At the cross, everyone's level. I have to come to the same cross that you guys had to come to. It's the great leveling field, is the cross. When I see great business owners, and they usually get this concept, they're some of the greatest servants. I'm not saying that they're cleaning the toilets. And every time someone talks about serving, they're always thinking the lowliest thing, like, oh, I have to do every menial task. No, we're all called to do different things. Apostle Paul talks about the body working in conjunction. However, business owners often will have to, first of all, from the beginning, had to do all those things. And they might now be at a different level, but they feel and they know that in their heart is to serve their customer base and their employees. And they do that in a certain way. But it doesn't mean they have to do every single task. It just means that now they've created a team and they have this concept of serving in their office, in their staff, in their community. So I'm not I'm not above cleaning a toilet. I just know that we also have other people who are willing to do that. But I am still called to serve. It doesn't mean that I'm going to be in a place where you can't bother me. I expect to serve this community just as much as I expect you to serve one another. If I find out that someone's suffering in our community and I'm the only one visiting them, that's a problem. Now, sometimes it's their problem because they haven't reached out enough. Sometimes they've been isolated themselves. But the reality is we need to also reach out to them and make sure everyone's doing okay. We need to take the example of Jesus Christ. When we serve without an agenda, and in our hearts is to serve Christ himself, and we love one another well, we will build a community that is on fire for Jesus. It's like building a major runway for the Holy Spirit to land. One of the biggest compliments I get when people visit our church, other ministers who visit, other people from out of town just stopping by, they're like, man, this place is like a family. And everyone was really nice to me and came up and said hi to me. And the ministers who said, there's hardly any toxicity in your staff and culture. It's like you guys are just serving one another. Well, that's because we want to exemplify the foundation, the example that Christ gave us to serve one another well. Are you guys here? Are you all right? I need like a so good once in a while, or like a whatever charismatic Pentecostal background you come from. Just look, if we build a church off of a personality alone, where if it becomes the Paul Martini church and everyone loves what I say and speak, and some people I know you don't like it that I'm not here every single Sunday, and I get that, but I also don't want to build a church based on my personality. I just don't. Whoever's up here, as long as they're preaching the word, I want us to receive them and grow from it. And if we build a top-heavy church where it's based on a person or personality, what happens when that person leaves? Becomes a bingo hall or something, right? They have to sell the building to a theater. I don't know. And I'm tired of seeing it. I really don't care if you remember my name. I don't care if this city remembers my name. I just care that the name of Jesus Christ is remembered. It's all I care about. And we're going to build a church. We're going to continue to build a church that way. There's a reason why this church, you know, most founding pastors, when they transition it to another pastor, it doesn't work out too well. But because of what Gail and Alan and the community and the culture they built here, Alan said to me when I was, I don't know if interviewing for the job is the right word, candidating. He invited me out here and I heard from God and he heard from God and it worked out. However, he said, Paul, this church has good bones. And he was not talking about the actual infrastructure. He was talking about the people and the families and the community that he's built here. And that was one of the biggest reasons that I felt good about coming here, was because we were coming into people who knew what it was like to live family together, who loved Jesus. And we want to continue to perpetuate that. And what would our city look like if they could really experience true community, true family? I mean, honestly, if one of us just reached out to one of our neighbors once a year, once a lifetime, and they just continue to do that, the whole city would get to experience that. And I hope we get there one day. I know God will bring us there one day. And I know we have this crazy vision to see Albuquerque saved. It's going to happen from temple to table. Jesus taught at the temple, and he gathered around the table. I want that in our heart. This is a sanctuary. I know your home is a sanctuary, but both should be open to all people. And so just, you know, some people, I used to think this all the time. I'd say, God, when I get fully whole and fully healed, I'll be such a good person. I'll be able to reach out to so many people and help so many people. And the Lord's like, Paul, if I wait for that, it'll be an eternity before I could use you. The beautiful thing about Jesus is he uses imperfect people. Do not wait for your home to be perfect. Do not wait for you to be in a perfect family situation. Of course, I want you healthy and I want you to, but the reality is, all you need to do is look for someone who's just a little worse off than you that you can speak life into. And they'll journey with you. They'll realize you're not perfect. And they'll say, hey, you're not perfect. And you're reaching out to me and helping me. And you're like, yeah, brother, sister, we're all in this together. I'm just making sure you're not alone while we're doing it. And finally, I just want to say that our prayer lives need to be pretty active. I know that sounds so foundational and rudimentary. But if we don't have an active prayer life, where this servant posture is every day, we won't see the benefits of serving. There's something really cool in, you know, the Orthodox Jewish tradition. They wear a yarmulke, I said this last week, on their head, and it just reminds them that God's above them, that they have, that there's someone over them, that they're not alone. And we don't have that in our culture and society, and I don't expect you to do that. But when we pray, it's a reminder that we have God, that he's above us, that he's with us, that we're actually, how many know that the brain is not the greatest leader? You think it is because it's thinking and it's conceptualizing. It's all these things. You're like, yeah, the brain, I follow my brain. Well, the reality is God created the brain. He created it to follow. He created it to follow him. And how we do that is aligning ourselves with him when we pray. I want to see Albuquerque saved. We need to pray. We need to pray that God softens people's hearts. We need to pray that God brings people into our lives. We need to pray for divine appointments. We need to pray for an open door, an open invitation. We need to pray for people who, you know, what's crazy is in the past, you know, year, we've seen people who were not just atheist, anti-God, come to know Jesus Christ. You know how it started? We prayed every day for them. We prayed, Jesus, would you soften their heart? Would you draw them to you? God, I might not be able to speak into their lives right now, but Lord, I know, would you send more people who could speak into their lives? God, would you create opportunities where they see a YouTube video about you? God, would you impact them? Lord, would you just bring them into a place where they could hear your word? This prayer life becomes so alive and active, and you start seeing it multiply throughout the people around you. It all starts there. And it gets us into a heart of serving, into a posture of serving. Because it's putting you in that position where you're saying, God, I'm here for you. Most people, when they pray, they think God's there for them. Come on, I do it. God, would you help me here? God, would you do this for me? God, would you help me? Would you give me $1 billion? God, would you just do it? God, you know, just kidding. Help me win the lottery. No, I'm just kidding. Don't play the lottery. Just kidding. Don't do that. Okay. That's going to be edited out, and then it's going to be put out. But, you know, we petition God for things that we need or maybe want, and it's no sin to do that. Thank God he knows better than what we do, and he grants the prayers, or he puts those prayers in us that we should be praying. However, we're also there for him. Communication, prayer with God is a two-way street. And while you're praying with them, he'll start asking you things. And he'll ask you, would you reach out to this person? Would you text this person an encouraging word? Would you go and feed this person for me? And it gets us into the position, into the heart of serving. Why don't you stand? Throughout this series, we're going to continue to build a culture. The series is almost over, by the way. If you guys are hating this serving series, just hang in there. We're going to be doing power series next. I don't know. Just kidding. Christmas, probably. Yeah, that's good. Advent, which I love Christmas, the ultimate servant. But we want to build a culture here that empowers serving in your life. And I believe that the conduit of the power of God in your life is going to open up significantly through serving. It's going to shock you. I said it last week, some of the most unsatisfied people I know are the ones who are looking so inward, they're not serving. And it's like, man, if you would just change that posture just a little bit, because it gets you focused off of yourself, onto God and onto others. Now, some people, it's too hard. They're in a situation, it's too hard for them to not look on themselves. But if we served them, if we reached out and served them, it would give them opportunities to look unto themselves. You know, the world is confused by anointed men and women who serve with no agenda. You look at someone like Mother Teresa. Like, why are you doing this? Why would you go and live your life that way? Why would you? There's no benefit for you in this. It confuses the world, but it preaches the gospel. And this is what we're missing in the world. If the whole church woke up and served and loved one another well, it wouldn't take long for this city to be saved, for this world to be saved. And you are qualified. Jesus qualifies you. The anointing qualifies you. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come, that you would empower us to serve each other well, that you would empower us to love one another well, that we, Lord, would be so in a position of serving like you served. That we would position our heart to pray and to say, Lord, yeah, these are things that we need and we want, but God, what do you want from us? And Lord, we would be able to answer that call and serve with no agenda, but for the joy that it brings to serve you. Lord, may we look at one another with your perception, with your eyes, with the eyes of Christ, and not see what we see, but see how you see them, and would love them in the same way, that you would remove judgment from our hearts, that we would be free from ourselves, and that we would serve well. Jesus, that we'd love one another well. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would move powerfully through our lives, that the gifts of the Spirit would move so freely as we serve one another, as we serve this city, that we would be able to be a shining light for you. Holy Spirit, I just pray that we would answer that call. Jesus, I thank you for this family. I thank you for this community. I thank you, Lord, for the strength that we have in loving one another and serving one another and doing life together. Lord, may we reach out to one another. May there be not one young adult feel lonely. May there be not one elderly person who feels alone. Lord, may we show them that they're not alone. God, may families reach out to families Lord, may you put on our hearts people we need to be with and a part of and do life with. Call higher. God, I thank you for the opportunity it is to serve your church, to serve you.